by First Baptist Church. And joining us this morning for a community connection, I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with the mayor. And Dale Copeland, thanks for coming in this morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Beautiful day.
It is a great day in the neighborhood. And, you know, depending on your proclivities for how much more rain we get some of that, too, later on this week.
We tend to get it whether we like it or not, but always need rain. Keep the lakes full.
There you go. That's a good thing. And I think more importantly for everybody's, lawns and grass and shrubs and flowers, and for that matter, the plantings along the boulevard and Frank Phillips, it's nice to see them stay green. So, you know, it's good.
Stay green. We don't have that talk we had several years ago about water restrictions and all those things. We take water for granted. Sometimes we don't even like it until there's not enough of it.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't the truth? Hey, when we looked last night on the council, several items up for business, and one thing that I guess important, I don't know how much notice people really take of a bond sale. Now, this is the final tranche, and it would take Mike Bailey to explain what a tranche is. I'm not going to do it. But let's just say that this is the last installment of bonds that voters approved several years ago.
This wraps up the 2012 bond approval, and it was $3.3 million. Sold that last night. Standard practice, go out for bids, and there's a very formal process. And I learned last night lots and lots of signing to be done. It's like buying three houses all at once, Charlie. You get to sign a lot of papers.
Oh,
but
wow.
The important thing, I think, to come away with is that the city just got an update on Standard & Poor's credit rating, got an AA- stable, which is third highest in the state, third only to Oklahoma City and Tulsa.
And Mr. John Wolf had some good things to say about the council in respect to that bond rating.
The rating that came out last Thursday, and it's available, we provided this to the city. You guys can provide it, put it on your website, but it addresses, although you have a weak economy, compared nationally, the strong management, strong budgetary performance, very strong debt and contingent liability position. You have a very low debt ratio compared to other cities nationwide. That along with strong financial management, governing body adherence to building up fund balance to protect yourself in weak economies, that kept your rating at the AA-. And it's very tough in these times.
AA-, I think Mom and Dad would approve if we brought that AA- report card home.
I think we're all very proud of that, and rightly so. And the result, at the end of the day, when you go out to borrow money, is what's it going to cost? 1.53, that was a lot longer number than that, but rounded off to 1.53% is a wonderful rate if you have to borrow money, and we do.
1.52 something 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 point 99, yeah.
1.526799 to
be
precise. But it does allow us to use more of the bond money for projects, less money for debt service, and that really is the important thing, is that we get to accomplish more, and it makes it worthwhile. All of the belt tightening and all of the careful consideration that both staff and the council does has led us to this point, not just this council, but previous councils who have practiced very conservative physical practice and spending policies. The end result is we get a lower, better rate, and we can get more done.
And that will be just the CIP list of projects that the council reviews yearly and prioritizes probably a whole lot more often than that.
Yeah, CIP runs on one channel. The bond issues run on a separate one, but they both deal with capital projects, whether it be streets, water, sewer, parks, all of those things that make Bartlesville a better place. And it takes a lot of money to run a city the size of Bartlesville, and this makes it more efficient and allows us to get there. The other thing about this, $3.3 million is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
This is a five-year note. It's not a 10, 20, 30-year note, so it's something that we will take care of very quickly and move on to the next thing. There's always a next thing.
There is always a next thing. A couple of other items just on routine business. The TIF recommendations came before the council. Week one of a couple of weeks of accepting public comment/questions, and by the way, the questions, as I understand it, Open Meetings Act, the council doesn't respond to questions. Those questions will be answered on the city website.
That's right. Yeah, those questions were recorded. They will be addressed and answered. Good questions were brought forward. I think one of the things we noticed last night in many of the different items, it was a fairly lengthy meeting, several important things to address. We have a very engaged city council, which people might expect. We have a very engaged city administration. But we also have a lot of citizens that take time. Not always the place you want to be Monday nights to drive downtown and go to a city council meeting. But we had a room full of folks who care and care deeply. Don't always agree, and that's okay. 35,000 people are not always going to agree. But it was a very civil discourse. People were polite. They brought their questions. They asked them. And in this particular instance, I think that the important takeaway is that this TIF proposal, and it is this point a proposal, that the city council tasked the Tax Incentive District Review Committee to look into. That's made up of members from all of what are called the taxing entities, the schools, the county, and the city, to look at this and come back with a recommendation. Last night we received that recommendation, adopted their plan, what's called a project plan, that if the TIF were to move forward, this would frame and guide that process. So last night was, as you mentioned, the first public hearing for people to get information from the city and then to in turn ask questions. Those were recorded, those will be answered, and then June the 5th at the next regular council meeting we will have a second public hearing to wrap up that part of the process. And that is all mandated by state law, as was discussed last night.
Mm-hmm. And again, it is, if the council chose, and I don't know that they will choose, I'll say if the council chose, during that June 5th meeting, they could take action on that proposal.
Right. Once the second hearing has been done, then the council will consider all of the information and make a decision on whether to go forward with that. In fact, what to go forward with. It could be something that could do less. This proposes up to $450,000, but it's certainly possible that as it continues to be studied, we're always looking for the best and most efficient solution to the problems, just as anyone else would do. But this gets that process underway, so we took another step last night. We'll continue to go forward to find the best solution.
And that proposal, and I'm probably oversimplifying it, but it entails mostly a rework of the turn into and the traffic flow pattern around the Eastland Shopping Center.
Right. Eastland has been there for many years. Bartlesville continues to grow. Certainly the traffic on the Highway 75 corridor continues to grow. And those are good things. Growth is a good problem to have to deal with. But when you look at that particular location, it sits at the intersection of U.S. Highway, Frank Phillips Boulevard, one of our major arterial, east-west arterials all the way through town. The traffic has continued to grow. They have other retail west of them. They have more retail north of them and south of them. That traffic, as far back as 10 years ago, was discussed of how shall we control this. It's not the city's job or task to run someone's retail private business. Certainly we benefit from that increased retail and increases sales tax, which the city always needs. But the point is safety, public safety, and this addresses a public safety concern of how to efficiently and safely move more traffic in and out of a location. And we do that all over town. Mm-hmm. There are what are called stacking lanes. There are those areas to help traffic move efficiently. And when you look around town, you see that a place gets widened. We change the signalization. And that's really what this is about, is a safety issue.
Does that, the fact that our Washington Boulevard is also US 75, does that complicate the engineering and execution of whatever the council would like to do?
Anything you do that attaches to either a state or, in this case, a federal highway, it does. It adds more layers of things that have to be addressed because Oklahoma Department of Transportation oversees U.S. highways and state highways. So obviously we have to interface with them, make sure that whatever plan is brought forward works within their framework and their rules and guidelines. And that's just good sense that you'd work with your neighbors, and ODOT has been a good neighbor for Bartlesville, using that analogy, to work together. Mr. Ridley and Mr. Patterson and the rest of that team have been good to communicate, tell us what they need, what has to happen, how it has to happen, and how we would connect with that. At the end of the day, I think people take for granted, like they do bond sales perhaps, that traffic flows better. We get where we want to go, we sit in traffic less, and there are fewer traffic accidents. There have been a number of traffic accidents up and down that corridor as people are in a hurry. Perhaps they turn out when they shouldn't have, or they stop quickly. And so the whole thing is how to make that a better area to work in and a better area to shop and enjoy Bartlesville.
Yeah, well, particularly with the work going on the bridge, but that's not our project, so I'll leave that one alone.
The bridge is not our project, Charlie.
We will continue with Mayor Copeland in just a moment.
I do believe that
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
As we continue our time with Mayor Dale Copeland, one issue that took quite a bit of time, although I think the public comment that the council heard was important, but the downtown landscaping plan task force actually made a report during a workshop session a couple of weeks ago. Councilman Gentius summarized the report after quite a bit of public comment.
There's a lot of interest in downtown, and rightly so. Downtown is a very important part of Bartlesville, as I think everyone agreed last night. Certainly, I believe Bartlesville is unique, and we want to remain unique. We have things for a city our size that are amazing. We want visitors to come here and enjoy that just like we do. And so there's a lot of concern, has been for many years, of how best to make downtown a better place, a place that can be walked, places for shops and places to stop and eat. Our major employers operate from there. So it's a really important thing, and because of that, a lot of people care and there are a lot of opinions. Ultimately, I think if you distilled all of that down, everybody agrees that we want to improve downtown. Right now we have funding for the 2nd Street and Dewey improvements. That has been on hold for a while as some issues were worked out, and that was the whole point of last night, to try and draw that to a conclusion and move forward. And I think in a nutshell, the conclusion was, what shall we do? The landscape task force that Councilman Gentius chaired, along with Councilman Kurt as a member and others, did a tremendous job of working out a very detailed, a very specific plan of what shall go here, what will move and change. And I think most everyone is quite pleased with that. But there's always that question of how shall it be paid for? Therein lies
kind of the comments that Susan Dick, I think, summarized it pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. How shall it be paid for is always a tripping point, because we all want this. We always want the best price, whether we're shopping for bagels or whatever. And that's just reasonable. Unfortunately, as we've seen with the state and even with the nation, there's not always enough money to do everything that everybody wants to do. And going back to our Standard & Poor's rating, this city has been very careful with how we spend money, and I think that's just the right thing to do. So a very in-depth discussion was held, lots of public input and discussion on how to move forward. At the end of the day, we decided this was broken down into many steps, as they always are, to move forward with the project on 2nd and Dewey. We hope that this sets a template, a pattern, that we learn from. What does it take to take out the old, put in the new, because we can't see what's below ground with sprinklers and electric and all those things. So what's it going to do? We feel like we're going to learn a lot from this. We'll improve 2nd and Dewey, but we'll also learn going forward for future work that is always stressed. People say, when's this or that going to happen? Only 2nd and Dewey has been funded. So these other things are just hoped for, planned for future projects. But what has come forward out of that task force is an idea to greatly simplify the downtown landscaping, reduce cost of maintenance, and be basically shop friendly. I know a time when the trees were beautiful, but you couldn't see the businesses. And so somewhere those have to coexist. And I think they have a great plan to do that. Council approved that. And hopefully that particular item has been addressed and will move forward and we can move on to other things that need to happen that are equally important.
I think somebody mentioned that they had called a customer, or a potential customer had called up their business one time and said, I can't find you. And that individual said, well, I'm kind of right here behind the trees. I'm paraphrasing. Oh, wait a minute, that was you.
That was me. Everybody loves the park. Everybody loves beautiful flowers, whether it's at your house or downtown. It does reach the place when you spend a lot of money on signage to get the message out of, here I am, here I am. You work with a radio station, you work with a newspaper. That's what marketing is about. And then we have these beautiful trees, but they grow up to where all of that signage becomes invisible, and the customers that you did all of this work for can't see where you are. And yeah, I told that lady, I said, ma'am, if you'll look through that plate glass window, see me waving right there, here we are. So I think they've come up with a plan that addresses that, that's a balanced plan. And there's a lot of needs to be addressed here, a lot of different things. Hopefully this is a really strong step in that direction, and we will learn from this and move forward for the rest of downtown. It's a slow process, always is.
And I think the maintenance, I think the, well, I know there were four pieces, primarily the what will be done. Everybody from the task force agreed on reducing the number of beds, and the different types of vegetation to be planted will be different. And that's kind of, it was a two-step process. Let's first of all approve the parts that everybody can agree on. And then there were several potential maintenance ideas. And Mr. Curd put forward one with the idea that if the council didn't, my words, not his, didn't bite on that one, there were other options that would come forward.
Well, I think people sometimes don't perhaps understand or just don't remember that this council cannot bind a future council. So we make decisions, and typically I think you look back and you say, what was the intention of the council in the past, a previous group of council leaders? But we can't say, well, 10 years from now, this is going to happen at any time, as I believe one of the council members mentioned. You look at this,
Vice Mayor, as I recall.
Yeah, we don't have time to do this, or we don't have money to do this. We can't do this. And that's a constant balancing act that goes on. So I think we got a good answer. I think this can go forward. A lot of concerns were put to rest, and we can get a good project working.
This week is Police Memorial Week. And I want to at least mention that there will be a ceremony just before noon tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow, the 17th at 11:30, this will be at Hensley at the old police station. The police department has moved operations to the new police station at the safety center. But this will be held there at the memorial, which is still at the old station at 11:30. And I believe Mr. Buchanan is the guest speaker.
I believe
you're
correct.
I didn't write that down, but I believe that's correct. It's always a good ceremony. They will gather people there to honor and remember those that go out every day when they strap on that belt and take care of those things that none of us want to do but have to be done. I think it's been captured in the idea that in the case of an emergency, some people will move away. These folks move toward the problem.
Yeah.
And just give them the honor and the respect that's due. Encourage anyone that can to be there.
Okay. One item, I think that's about all we're going to have time for. It's a opportunity that if a property owner feels that they did not get their problem properly heard, maybe on a dilapidated structure or other items, that the council is an option to go back and ask for a review of the facts on their situation.
Right. It's very, very briefly, if the city receives a complaint about an issue, they will go out and investigate it. There are a set of rules about what constitutes a violation. That will be addressed. In most cases, that's where it stops. But if not, then it's brought to a hearing. The hearing will address the facts and the issues. Both sides present their information, and the hearing officer will make a finding. That, again, deals with a great number of the things that are brought forward. If that proceeds and there's still disagreement or non-performance, then the person may appeal to city council, which happens occasionally. They come to council. Again, the information is presented most often with photos and background supporting documentation, and the council will make a finding whether to uphold that appeal, usually at some compromise. And then ultimately, if they don't agree with the council, they do have the avenue to go to district court and appeal it there. Fortunately, I don't know very many that go that far. Ultimately, everybody deserves to live in a neighborhood that is fairly well kept. I may not agree with the flowers that you plant, Charlie, and you may not like the color that I pick to paint with. But when it reaches a place where a structure has deteriorated, windows are broken, perhaps creatures are living in the house, whether it be pigeons or other wildlife, trash in the yard, those sorts of things, I think that the neighbors have a right to have a nice place to live and for their children to play. So those come occasionally, hopefully not very often, yeah. But last night we dealt with one, and I think we've hopefully found a solution, and everybody comes out with a better result in the end.
And last couple that I have sat in on council meetings, you from the chair have said, sir, that first of all, this is a very tough decision. We want you to succeed. But if necessary, the council has already laid out facts that if you don't meet these guidelines, then we're going to go ahead with demolition. So, yeah.
Yeah, nobody likes those. I don't like them. Nobody on the council. It's been said repeatedly. This is the last thing we wish to deal with. But at some point, that's one of the duties that we have. And I think it's important that everyone have a very clear understanding of what's expected, when it's expected, and what the alternatives are if those guidelines aren't met. Generally, we have a very, again, cordial conversation and come to an understanding that allows the individual and the staff to move forward and try to find success. Nobody wants to have failure in those areas. We hate to have them in the first place. We'd love to find a good outcome.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Mayor Del Copeland with us this morning on AM 1400 K1.
Added more than $500 million through a combination of cigarette and fuel tax increases and the elimination of energy industry tax incentives.